Well, we were just wondering on the way up here how you ever heard about Folden Village way back then.
Well, Gil Berg lived in Seattle, and there's where I was at the time. And he was the one that that asked me if I would like to go out there and cook, and because they had just, and then of course my daughter is married to Dr. Stein's son, so and Dr. Stein and his son, older son, went up to Folden Village when they first took it over, or was to, trying to take it over, I guess it was. So of course I heard about it through them, and but then they asked me if I'd like to go up there, so I went up. It was in the early spring, must have been, because it was still snow, and they came down to the dock with an old truck that the man at the dock there, he lived at the dock, and he owned this truck, and they went, we went up in this truck. Well, I can remember how it was still snow and wet, and I was alone with I forget how many men, but they were the men that was going to look the place over before they started cleaning it up, after they had taken it over, you see. And of course it was too much for the LBI to take it over alone, so they used the church. You've heard all about that history, I mean. And anyway, when we came up there, there was this Reuben, did you hear about him? Reuben Thompson was there all alone with his dog.
He was a caretaker or something.
Yeah, so he was a caretaker. So he was there, so he had sort of, he was living in this one, Chalet One, they call it Chalet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had some food with us, and I can remember how I was making sandwiches and things for lunch. And that was, then we walked all through the building, and it was something to see, because the vandals had been in there and got this, what do they call this, that you get the fire out with, fire extinguishers, you know. They had sprayed that all around and in the buildings. And when we got to the kitchen, it looked just like they had just taken off, you know, from the table. They had been eating. The food was still on the plates that they had. Of course, they had, were through eating, but the food was still on the plates, and it was all around all the tables, and they had just up and gone. And so that was the first time that I'd seen that. Well, of course, when we decided to go up, and these forerunners, which they were called, were going to come from Minneapolis. I think most of them did come from Minneapolis. Some of them came from California, I remember. And they were high school graduates, I think. Some of them were college graduates. because we had Fern, I forget what her name was then, but she's married to a pastor now in Minneapolis. So anyway, she was the nurse, and so we had a nurse there, and in that group that came. But of course, before they came, we were busy trying to clean out different places so they could be, you know. Of course, when they came, they got busy and started cleaning. They worked so hard, and I was cooking. And I was cooking on this little stove that was, I think they used it for a camping, you know, or in the cabins. And I can remember so well the first morning I tried to figure out how I was going to bake anything, because we couldn't, you know, get a hold of anything. Only I think it was 2 days a week that we got from the barge would bring us food. And we had another thing I have to say is that all the refrigeration we had at that time was garbage cans, brand new garbage cans that we brought up, and they set them in a sort of a, what they had used as a pool, I think, and there we put all our food so that it wouldn't spoil for us, because it was, you know, how it goes, it gets warm during the day, and
we'll talk about. So you had no generated power.
No generated power then, but of course that was after the Forerunners came, then they got busy and got the, you know, these great big, whatever they called them, they were electric anyway. They were talking about it in another film. But I sure can remember how we struggled. And so this here stove, I was going to say, didn't have any, the fireplace was burned out that goes into the oven. So I thought to my, I laid awake at night thinking, how was I going to fix that? Then I thought I'd let aluminum foil. So I took aluminum foil and I put that in there. And it baked. I baked rolls and I did all kinds of baking on that little.
Now this was the kitchen in the hotel in the dining hall.
No, this was in that Chalet 1.
Chalet 1.
This was the very beginning. And so of course when the Forerunners came, then they were the ones that got busy and cleaned out the kitchen part over there. But before they came, I took all those dirty dishes and I heated the water in some kind of a tub that I found, and I put fire under it and heated the water that way, because there was no other way to do it over there by the kitchen. And I washed all those dishes. So that part of it was done by the time that the Forerunners came. And so we had to, but we tried to cook in Chalet 1. There's where we were doing our cooking during all this time that they were working. And then we had a big, they still have it as far as I know, this fireplace outside with the grill. Well, that's how I made pancakes on this here grill out there.
behind Chalet One, or in that area?
Yeah, behind Chalet One. And then they fixed up the Chalets. I forget which Chalet it was, but I know it was on top of the hill that I moved into when they got the kitchen finished, so that we moved over there. And then they moved, I don't know if you heard about this, but anyway, they had took this stove that they called Mabel. That was what they named, and now I got pictures of it, that it's all to pieces. But it only had three legs when I came, so I had a waste paper basket under the one leg. And one evening I had a great big, you know, they had these great big kettles over there, and they had this great big, I had this great big kettle because I had all these people to feed, full of stew.
Okay.
Well, when I was making the stew, it was for the forerunners that had come up, and they were about, what were they, 35 or 40? And so I was making all this stew for them. Well, anyway, while I had this big kettle on the stove, the forerunners, and because Bird was ahead of them, and they were struggling with the hose. They were practicing fire, you know. And here I looked up, and the pipe was coming out of the chimney, and I had a big fire going because I was making all this stew. And here that other leg was coming off, and I didn't know what to do, so I run over and grabbed the kettle of stew, and I started screaming for help. And an old man happened to be there visiting, and so he came in, and he found a big log, and he put that under that other leg. So it ended up that I had only two legs on that stove. But anyway, when we moved over to the kitchen, I was telling you. Of course, when we had big groups, like the World's Fair was in Seattle, and in 64, I think. And then we were cooking in this house, or Chalet One. And then we carried the food over to the building where they have worship service now, but it used to be some kind of a gym, I think. And anyway, they ate over there. And so we prepared an awful lot of food on that little stove. And we made rolls, and of course, for breakfast, and then we eat outside. Like I say, we made French toast, and we made pancakes and things on this big grill out on the back. And but when they moved into the kitchen, they put one stove in each corner of that. They called it the garbage house, where they had, where the miners had their garbage, but of course they cleaned it up real good. And like they did the kitchen. And so I cooked in there. And then we had a lot
where
of
was people. Where was that building at? The garbage building?
It was right, isn't it still there? It was right across from the kitchen.
I wonder, is that the building they used for a sauna?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, the sauna building.
Yeah, the sauna building. I remember that now. Because I've
been behind,
That's where it was. And that used to be where I cooked before they got the stove, the big stove going. That I think that run by oil or whatever it is. I don't know if they still are they still using the big stove or have they got electric stoves now? I don't know.
They have both gas and electric, I think, in the dining hall.
Oh, they do. Well, anyway, I haven't been there for about 5-10 years, so I don't know.
Now, was this 1961 when you first moved here?
1961, yeah. And 60. Yeah. I was there for 3 summers.
Okay, when would you leave then, in the fall? What time would they close?
It was about first part of November, the last time that I was up there, I think, because then I got a chance to work at the LBI, so I didn't go up any more summers. And of course, by that time, they had these other buildings cleaned up, so they were able to have electricity and but it was real interesting at first when we came up in it. Like so many of the forerunners, see, it isn't like it used to be. It isn't as much fun as it used. We had a lot of fun too. And like they were saying, I was listening to the tape that the forerunners had, some of the forerunners made now, and they were saying how much fun it was, how much hard work it was, because they were making trails, and they'd come in, and not only that, but they went hiking, and we had to have, I was looking today for pictures, because I had pictures of myself with that this was after we moved into the big kitchen, so that we had that big oven to bake in. I made so many rolls, cinnamon rolls, that I had I forget how many people we had, but we had a lot of people, you know, for breakfast. So we made, they came up weekends. And another thing, too, was that they'd tell me that we'd have about four or five people come up. That was what they expected to come up at, and they'd come for lunch, of course. And so we planned on so many people, extra people. And here it would end up to be maybe 30 sometimes. So what would you do when you didn't have, you know, the electricity and the, at that time? But it, of course, it did improve some after we got the big, whatever those things are called.
The hydro, the
hot, Anyway, they, at that time, like, got better, but.
Those first weekend people were guests or volunteers, or why would they come on weekends?
Well, they were, they had different, now like, some of them were painters, and they were carpenters too, and electricians, and then they'd take their family, come with their families. Especially weekends, there would be guests. So we had a lot of people.
What kind of a kitchen crew did you have? Anything?
Yes, they were very good about helping me. I had about usually two, three would help me with the cooking. Like the nurse helped me a lot, I know, a friend did, because she would help me make meatballs. That was one thing. I made a lot of meatballs and rolls and then after we got the big stove going over. You know, that had, over in the kitchen, that had a big grill on it. And so I even made less of it there. And so I still have a less of pin that a man from, I think he was from Spokane, I'm not sure, made for me, and he wrote on it in Norwegian. So it was, it's sort of hard to remember, but I sure
How
remember.
How did you get rid of your garbage? Did you have bear problems or anything like that?
No, we didn't see any bears. We had, you know, when I was there all by myself, before the forerunners came, with Reuben. Reuben was there, of course. And I would be walking between the big kitchen and chalet one. Why, I had all kinds of deer going around me. And they weren't afraid of me at all. But I didn't see any bear or any other animals. But I can't remember what we did with the garbage. But anyway, and then of course when we washed clothes, we had to heat the water and
where did you wash dishes?
Oh, on the tables. And of course, we had to heat the water before they got the electricity going. But we had big dish pans. And so they'd always wash, help me wash the dishes after breakfast. And the other meals too, of course. But I can remember how they used to take turns washing dishes before they went out to make trails and all this. But,
did you have any electricity that first summer?
Yes, they got those.
Diesel generators?
Yeah, generators going. So that we had but it was only so long. You couldn't, we could use it, you know, because I don't remember. I suppose there was some reason for it, but anyway.
Suppose they had to bring fuel up for the generator.
Yeah. They did. So we couldn't, we only had a certain time that we had to shut it off so we couldn't have any. But we were happy in the dark too, because, but anyway, when, and then when, of course, when everybody went home, I was still there in the fall, because I wouldn't come back till, like I say, it must have been the last part of July, October, before, when the, anyway, the snow had started to come, because I can remember how beautiful it was. It looked just like Christmas, you know. The trees were just white up around us, and then mountains on both sides of us. We, I just felt so good up there, because it, it was, you know, so beautiful. And my health was good too. And so I was able to work all the time. Sometimes I never did come out of there from May till October. I never did come out. A lot of them did, of course. They had days that they took off.
Your family ever come up and visit you?
Yes, one. My son was in the service. That's how I was happy to go, because you see, my husband passed away before my youngest girl was born, so I had been alone with the children. And when he went into the service, why, then there was nobody home, because the girls were gone. One girl was in school in California, and the other one was married to a serviceman, so she, they were in the service. So anyway, when he had furlough, when my son had furlough, he came up and to see me. And I believe my daughter and her husband had furlough at the same time, so they came up to me. And so that was the first day. But then after my daughter and that lives here now, after they were engaged up there too, announced their engagement up there, and then we they came up quite often, because they like to go hiking.
Question, you talked about coming up with this group of men, mm-hmm. and looking over the building. Then did they leave and you stayed up there getting ready for this summer group, or were you all there the whole time? Or
no, they, as far as I can remember, yeah, I stayed then after the men had gone, but they went home the same day. As far as I can remember, but I stayed, and that's when I was trying to do all these dishes and all this cleaning up, because that was really, Bert would stay there, though, 2-3 days or so, and he would go back and forth. He'd always bring food up, and, because, and then, you know, in the, when it starts, I suppose they still do, I don't know, but the, when it starts, the summer is sort of over. But then, of course, this boat only goes so many days a week. Otherwise, they, like, as far as I know, they go every day during the summer.
If you have church services up there, every
yeah.
day or once a week, or
we had devotions like in the evening. Bergstrand, you know, came with the group, the forerunners, Mr. and Mrs. Bergstrand, and their two boys came up with them, and he was the one that had, you know, we had devotion with him, and we had Bible study. Every evening, I think we did. And of course, we had regular service on Sundays in that gym. So, but it was experience. I said at first when I came away from there, I said, boy, I think if I could you know, get everything, pictures and everything together, I think I could write a book on the experience, because it was certainly something with the facilities that we had, you know, at first, especially. But we became very close friends and all that, especially the forerunners. And there was a lot of families, too, that came that I got to know. But especially those that were working.
You mentioned stew and meatballs. Do you recall any other, what kinds of noon and evening meals you made?
Well,
like you said, it was hard, like meat storage. How would you do that before you had power? You kept that all in these cans?
In the cans, and you'd be surprised. They were in the spring water, you know, the running water, so from the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so ice cold that it kept everything cold. But there was a lot of times that we were frantic because the all these people would come. Now, like, we had all the pastors come, and we expected, I forget how many we were supposed to get, but we had about 60, I think. And here, our food didn't come with them. And I can remember how I was scurrying around trying to figure out, but I happened to have canned ham. So we took and ground up this ham and made ham loaf out of it to try to make it go further. And memory isn't too good. I cannot tell you exactly what the menu was, but anyway, we had we tried to always bake bread, so we had bread. Of course, we also had bread sent up when we ordered. Two times, like I say, two times a week. I think it was Thursday and Monday. I'm not so sure. But maybe if I could talk to Bert, he could help me better. He because he was the one that
where helped was the, where was the pool with the garbage can set?
It was in right in back of the of Chalet 1. It was on the way as you go over to that fireplace. And it was in between there. And it was, seems to me it was square or something. But the water run into it. So that it was always cold, but it was sure nice after we got the electricity so we could, have more refrigeration, because I forget how many garbage cans we had, but I know we had 4 or 5.
So you couldn't order too much food ahead.
No, we couldn't. But I remember many times I'd get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and start breakfast because it wasn't easy to. Sometimes I would make a big kettle of mush, oatmeal or whatever. And when we did order, sometimes we ordered that cereal. So we had cereal, but we always had to make powdered milk, of course, because we had no other way. So, but I remember potato salad was very one very common. So we must have gotten a lot of potatoes. And I was thinking today, I remember how we used to walk over to that where the miners used to live in the housing over there. Well, there was gardens, where they, beautiful flower gardens that they had. And here we run into a big patch of rhubarb. And I just pack over rhubarb and make or sauce and pies and stuff. So, and then of course, Bert had a friend in Wenatchee, I think it was, that sent up cherries, a lot of cherries and apples.
We did have fresh fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, we did. We had them. So I can't. Remember exactly what. Anyway, that was the first day. The first year, anyway. But I was up there 3 summers, and of course, like I say, that it got more modern, or whatever you call it. Yes. Because we felt like it was modern, and we got electricity.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were staying up there alone, like after the men, before the forerunners, then this was a wood stove? You go chop your own wood and all that kind of thing?
That's what the men would do for us. There was that's one thing that whoever came up, they always had to chop wood and carry wood over for the wood stove. That was even the pastors, I remember, they were busy. cutting wood. And so I never had to worry about wood because they always, but I sure did have to have wood. And at that time, but I don't think anybody would even believe it, how it was, you know, in the beginning. Certainly it wasn't anything like it now.
Were there forestry service people around at that time?
Yeah. They were there all the time, very often, because they were very strict about, you know, you couldn't have any fires anywhere else but just around. And we were lucky when I was there anyway. Never had any fire, but I guess they had fires later after I left, because they said one of the shillings burned. So, but then of course they were the ones that burned down the houses over there, and now they're.
Were you there then when they were doing that?
Well, they were starting the last summer I was there, starting to clear it out, because we were saying that we better get our rhubarb while we can. And they had beautiful flower gardens, so we used to pick flowers and have on our tables, you know. And, but when everybody left, really funny, you know, it was so quiet around there. And just a few of us, some of them did stay because they had different things, you know, they were doing, like painting or carpentering.
That first summer, there were people in and out of there all the way up until you left in October?
Mm-hmm. It sure was. But then, of course, when I know that we were in the chalet cooking when, so we must have been in the chalet cooking in 64 then, if the World's Fair
was in 62.
Was it 62? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's where I'm wrong then. Well, 62, that would be the year after I came. I wasn't even there in 64 then, because that was the year I started working at LBI, that's right. So that was 62. And so then you see they hadn't gotten the kitchen ready because they were eating over there in the gym. Because I remember us preparing, especially I can remember all this potato salad, because this is a great big pan. And the girls were preparing this for me, I guess I had. Four or five girls in front of me there, cutting it up, and then we had all kinds of cold meat. That's one thing that we could have. And I remember we had quite a bit of ham. We used ham a lot because that would keep. Whatever.
the second summer then, these people, like you mentioned, for the fair in Seattle, were they coming through just to visit, or were they also volunteering their time?
No, they were coming to visit, because as far as I can remember, the I don't think they stayed overnight, because I think they would go home, you know, go back when the lady at the lake, around 4 o'clock. Pictures, you know, that they took now of the group that was there, and there they said the old truck, 61, still going. And so that's what they had, you know, sort of gave, so that people had something to hang on to. But that's how they haul people up and down. And we were about, what is it, 10 or 11 miles. And of course, we had a lot of, like I say, hikers. Visitors, when they come, they go hiking. Sometimes they stay overnight. Well, then I made a lot of fun nuts. They're donuts made out of fudge. And that was such a very dish, you know, that they all liked. That was one thing that they liked to have in their hiking. And it was a lot of food. And then we'd make sandwiches. And if we had pancakes, and I noticed they still do. Had pancakes for breakfast. Well, then they, and that was something I think I started, because I had a couple girls that said, "Oh, what I would do if I had some leftovers." And I said, "Okay." I said, "There's some pancakes left."